Usually there is.
I'm not singing.
Okay, Ben, I heard you did a solo at Bible study. I mean, we could just have another one. Oh, we got a speaker. We got a mic. It'll be good. It'll be good. It'll be good. Are your eyes squinting? Can you see? Can you see the blue up on the screen? The day's message is a blueprint for fathers. I think Tafu had no idea what I was doing. So it's going to work out good. It's actually going to come from John 3:16. I'll talk about that in a little bit. So yes, today is Father's Day. Of course, it is an important day. But it's not the cash cow for the greeting card industry that Mother's Day is, dads, right? However, like Mother's Day, in the past, it was always a big day for long-distance companies. Remember when we had those, you know, back in those days when they still existed? Well, actually, fewer calls are made on Father's Day than made on Mother's Day, but the long-distance companies always made more money on Father's Day because a significant number of the calls coming home were collect. We wanted to wish Dad a happy Father's Day, but we just wanted him to pay for the phone call. You know, we cannot deny the impact that a father can have on a child. One successful man said, "Yes, I'm a self-made man, but my dad made the blueprint." Today we'll look at a blueprint for fatherhood found in the most recognizable verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16. You probably have it memorized. It goes like this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you're a father, this verse will give you some ideas of what it means to be a good dad. If you're a child and you no longer have an active relationship with your father due to divorce or death or distance, this verse teaches us four ways that our Heavenly Father relates to us. Let's take a look at each one of them. First of all, a father loves. Back to the verse, "For God so loved the world." My experience as a father has given me insight into two spiritual concepts: what it means to love and what it means to be loved. We may strive to love others unconditionally, right? Our spouse, our friends, our siblings, but it doesn't come naturally to us. This kind of unconditional love is something you have to develop with them. For example, you may love your wife unconditionally, right? Right, guys? Come on, let me see some heads nodding. Okay, all right. But you haven't always. You didn't love her unconditionally before you met her. When you first began dating, you didn't love her unconditionally. If you had found out in the initial stages of dating or in your relationship that she was, say, a bank robber, right? More than likely, your feelings would have withered away, I hope. Today, you may love her with all your heart. But it's a love that she has earned to a certain extent by being the wonderful person that she is. Too often, this is how we think that God gives love to us. We make the mistake of thinking that his love for us grows more and more as God gets to know us. And the more we do worthy things, we get more of his love. It just doesn't work that way, right? And becoming a parent, it truly does teach you this. The moment your children come into the world, You love them, period. He or she has done nothing to earn your love, but you love them anyway, simply because they're yours, and you will keep loving them truly no matter what. This is unconditional love. And a variety, or really virtually all parents have it. If you're a parent, think of the love you have for your children and realize this is the best human example of God's love for each of us, for you. It's not based on performance or merit. It's based on the fact that we are His children. I have never met a father who has said, "I don't love my children." Of course, all fathers love their children. But here's where too many of us fathers drop the ball. We don't express it. We don't say it. We don't show it. Or we show our love at certain times in a reward for certain types of behavior. As a result, kids get the idea that a father's love is, you know, for them, that love for them is conditional. The people in your life can't read your feelings, my friends. They can only read your actions. They can't hear what you're thinking. They can only hear what you say. That's why it's crucial for a father to express his love for his children in what he says and what he does. Our Heavenly Father expressed His love to us again and again and again. Even in the garden, after Adam and Eve had sinned, God took care of them. He made clothes for them. Throughout Scripture, God affirms His love for us. We know He loves us because He says so. Examples, Deuteronomy 7, 7, 13, 23, 5, 2 Chronicles 9, 8, Isaiah 43, 4, and countless Psalms. And I truly could go on and on through Scripture where God tells us that He loves us and proves to us He loves us. God loves you unconditionally. He said so. And He backs up His words with action. Regardless of the relationship you have with your earthly father, you can have a personal heart-to-heart relationship with your Heavenly Father. He loves you unconditionally just because you are His. That's what a father does. He loves. Dads, don't forget to show your children how much you truly love them. The next thing a father does is a father gives. Back to our verse. God so loved the world that He gave. What did God give us? His Son, His Son. He sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven and live with Him forever. This is the ultimate gift God has given to us. But it is not the only gift that God has given us. The foundation of our relationship with God is built on all that He has given us. Our lives, our homes, our parents, our skills, our intellect. Yes, and on and on. When we allow Him to, He gives to us every single day of our lives. He meets our needs. He answers our prayers. And yes, He tackles our problems. He is a giving God. If you're a father, there are two primary things, right, that you need to give your kids. You ready? Your money In other words, you need to provide for them. Number two, your time. Both are important. An abundance of one does not negate the need for the other. Your children need you to provide for them materially, and they need you to be right there for them emotionally. Oh, that's not easy, is it, dads? Years ago when I was visiting, this was actually when I was single, I was visiting a friend who was married, and he had a child. His little boy was playing on the floor in front of us as we talked, and my friend made an odd comment. He pointed to his son and said, "There goes my chance of ever owning a boat." As soon as I get the hospital bill paid, he'll need braces, and by the time I get those paid for, he'll want a car, and when it's paid off, it'll be time to pay for college, and then by then, I'm going to be too old to want a boat. He was being facetious, I think. He was also, to a limited extent, speaking the truth. Being a father requires sacrifice on your part. There are some things you have to do without in life because you have a greater obligation to provide for your children. Robert Schuller once said that he chose to be a failure at golf so that he could be a success as a father. He realized he didn't have time to be a pastor of a growing church, manage an international TV ministry, write best-selling books, and play golf, and be an attentive father all at the same time. So he dumped golf. As a father, there are sacrifices that you will make. Undoubtedly, you have made many sacrifices already. These are part of the job description, the part of the joy of being a father. Your kids may never fully understand how much you sacrifice for them. In my humble opinion, that's the way it should be. The last thing you need your kids to hear is, if it weren't for you, I would have a boat. Looking back, wow, I can see how my parents sacrificed for me in big ways and small ways. And I'm thankful for the sacrifices that they made. I am also thankful they never did anything to give me the impression that if I weren't in the picture, they could drive a nicer car or take better vacations. They never gave me a reason to think that, and I never did. A father gives to his children time and money. Both are essential, and we have to be diligent to maintain a delicate balance between the two. It would be easier to just be a provider and let the wife take care of raising the kids. But the 1950s kind of taught us that this model doesn't work so well. Kids need their father to be more than a provider. They need him to be emotionally available to them. Fathers, we need to be available for our children. I have a policy. Sometimes it drives Kathy nuts. But anytime the kids call, I'll answer the phone. They rarely need to call, maybe once or twice a month. Sometimes it's every day. Sometimes it's twice a week. But they know whenever they need to get to me that I will answer the phone. If spending time with your father is not an option, here's something to keep in mind. Your heavenly Father is always available. You can call on him anytime, day or night. You can talk about your troubles, your fears, your dreams, and God will listen. That's what a father does. He's there for his kids. Number three, a father requires. John 3:16 is God's plan for salvation. It shows us what he does for us. He gave his son so that we can be saved. And it shows us what he requires of us. That whosoever believes in him, we have a role to play in our own salvation. God requires that we believe in him. He doesn't expect more of us than we can give, but he does expect us to do what we can. We don't have the capacity to be perfect. Even though we reach for perfection, we keep trying. We don't have the capacity to pay the price for our own sins. But we have the capacity to believe. This is what God requires of us. Once we believe, we'll be moved to repent. A good father has certain expectations for his children, certain requirements that must be met. He isn't unreasonable about it. He doesn't demand more than a child can give, but he does require a certain level of responsibility from his own children. John Grisham's book, The Testament, begins with a story about a man who succeeded in business beyond what most people could ever imagine, amassing a fortune of $11 billion. Along the way, he married three times, fathered seven children in those marriages. He provided for them all financially, but he was emotionally absent as a father and never expected much of his children. He gave each child a no-strings-attached gift of $5 million on their 21st birthday. And each child squandered the money. Eventually, they each wound up in debt, resentful of their father, and truly eagerly waiting for him to die so they could collect their share of the will. Though this man was a success in the eyes of the world, he was a failure as a father. And his children paid the price. Though this story is fiction, it reflects the truth. It's similar to an Old Testament story of Eli. Eli was a man of God, a priest who served in the temple. Though Eli, he was faithful as a priest, he was a failure as a father. The sons of Eli had no respect for the law of God. They defiled sacrifices. They extorted from those who brought offerings to God. And they slept with the women who served in the temple. Eli knew about their behavior, and he did nothing about it. As a result of that, God judged Eli. As a father has a responsibility to set the standard for his children, to say, this is the way we live and nothing less is acceptable. And of course, it's a father's responsibility to lead by example. A father's attitude must be, do as I do, not merely do as I say. Joshua set the example of all fathers when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that comes from Joshua 14:15. A father requires his children to act like they belong to him. He doesn't demand more than they can give. He doesn't base his love on his child's behavior. But he does expect his child to do their part. Just like our Father requires that we do our part. We must believe in His Son. Fourthly, a father prepares his child for the future. Back to our verse. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God created a future for you and for me. He is offering us eternal life. He doesn't want us to spend eternity without Him. He wants us to live forever in His presence. And He provides a way to make that happen. He did this by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross for our sins. When we put our faith in Jesus, right, when we believe and we repent, our sins are forgiven. And God gives us eternal life. Christianity is not about a person finding their own way to God. It's about God reaching out to us through His Son, through the movement of the Holy Spirit. God had a vision for your future, a future spent in heaven with Him forever and ever, and He provided a way for you and everyone that chooses God to believe in Jesus Christ to get there. In the same way, earthly fathers need to do what they can to direct the future of their children in a way that will, you know, benefit the child, most benefit the child. I say this rather cautiously because we all know examples of fathers who go overboard in this area. You're going to be a doctor and that's all there is to it. We've all seen fathers who try to live out their own dreams through their sons. This is not the kind of direction that I'm talking about. Just because we have seen fathers who do this the wrong way doesn't mean that we should neglect doing it the right way. Fathers should prepare their children for the future in three primary areas. A father should help his child prepare spiritually for the future by bringing them up in a Christian atmosphere, encouraging them to be involved in church, and challenging them to grow in their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A father should also help his child prepare for the future of his or her career. He should help his children identify their gifts, skills, and interests, and help them discover what kind of work that is best for them. He should encourage them to pursue their dreams. He should help them prepare for the challenges that they will face in this life. He should give them his total support as they enter into life as an adult. A father should also help his children prepare for developing relationships. A father should teach his children the kind of person to choose or the people to choose as friends, the kind of person to date. And of course, children learn from example. And they will, in many ways, mirror the relationship you have, fathers, with your wife, your spouse. But without specific direction, they won't know the kind of person that they probably should marry. I have a friend who has six children, grown children. He was always a loving father, and he was, you know, he was very close to each one of his children. He brought them up in church. He encouraged them to work hard and pursue success in life, but he never talked to them about who to date or what kind of person that they should consider marrying. Today, five of his six children have been through divorces. He once said to me, "My biggest failure in this life is that I never taught my children to marry well. Even though we had a good marriage, my wife and I had a good marriage," he said, "we never talked to our children about how to choose a mate." All of my children expected their marriages to be like ours, but they didn't marry well. And they weren't ready to face the problems that can come with marriage. Maybe if they had then, it would have been different. Our Heavenly Father has prepared a future for us in heaven. Earthly fathers must help their children prepare for their future on earth. God gives us a blueprint for fatherhood because He is and always will be the perfect Father. He loves us. He gives to us. He requires that we follow Him, and He prepares a future for us. These are things that we can do for our own children, not as a tyrant, but as a gentle, loving, caring father. If your father is gone, if you don't have the relationship with your father that you would have wanted, you can take comfort in the fact that God is your father, and He is exactly the kind of father that you want. He loves you, loves each of you, and He will help you experience fulfillment in this life and for all eternity if you will each put your faith in Him. Amen. Amen. Amen.